Welcome to this episode of Dental Soundbites. Here's your host, Dr. Bill Griffin.
Thanks, Jamie, and welcome to this episode of Dental Soundbites, recorded at CMDA's National Convention earlier this year, and which was recently aired as a CMDA Matters podcast. My guest was Dr. Van Haywood, a name familiar to many of you, who has influenced so many dentists and their patients over the years. Enjoy. Greetings from the Christian Medical and Dental Association's 2024 National Convention. This is Dr. Bill Griffin, your CMDA Vice President for Dental Ministries, and today I'm filling in for your regular host, our CEO, Dr. Mike Chupp. And I'm joined for this episode of CMDA Matters by Dr. Van Haywood, who earlier today was the recipient of the CMDA Educator of the Year Award. Van, welcome to this episode of CMDA Matters, and congratulations on receiving this well-deserved award.
Thank you, Bill. It was quite an honor and a surprise.
Now, I'll just mention a little bit about this award as it's specified. The CMDA Educator of the Year Award recognizes outstanding achievement in the area of medical or dental education. In particular, recipients of this award must demonstrate an ability to instill in students a desire for professional excellence, lifelong learning, ethical integrity, and compassion for the suffering. Also, unquestioned personal integrity and superior professional competence, and a commitment to biblical truth and the integration of faith and practice. Although I was the one who nominated you for this award, it was Dr. Mike Chupp who suggested that I do so. And although I thought I knew you pretty well from the past few decades, as I was going through all of your accomplishments over the years, I was blown away by all that you have done, both domestically and internationally. Van, what were your first few thoughts when you heard that you were receiving this award?
Well, Bill, I was humbled, and people know me as a crier, and I definitely cried. The CMDA group has been an inspiration to me for many years, and I've always been inspired by listening to the accolades of the different awardees in previous years. So it was a very humbling experience to be grouped with this class.
And I would assume that almost every dentist in America has either heard of your work with teeth whitening or has at least benefited from some of the procedures that you pioneered. But for today's podcast, we have a large number of non-dental personnel listening. So how about if we start first with the story of how you became aware of the process by which natural teeth can be made whiter?
Okay, Bill, I hope this will actually be an encouragement, not just about dental tooth whitening or bleaching, but the story of God's guidance. I had just left private practice in Augusta, Georgia, and God had called me into teaching, and the position was open at UNC Chapel Hill. So I was teaching there. And to keep your job at that particular time, you had to have research. You had to have an international article, a focus, and some kind of grant funds. And so I got requested by a small study group out in the middle of nowhere near Jacksonville, North Carolina. And they asked me to come talk all day about how to make smiles prettier. Well, I didn't have any research going on specifically. I didn't necessarily have a focus and didn't have international articles. So every morning I would pray about it in my quiet time, which has become a regular habit for me. And I would get the sense that God wanted me to go. And I would ask people at work and they would say, "You're crazy if you go because you're going to lose your research time and you're going to lose your job." And so it just continued to be a challenge, and God continued to nudge me that I ought to go. So through a comedy of errors, I went there, got lost in the airport. I mean, I missed a whole half a day of the lecture. So when I got done explaining porcelain veneers and all the different things that dentists could do to make smiles look prettier, the guys were taking me back to the airport and they said, "Well, that's all real good, but we don't do that kind of thing out here. We just make a little football mouth guard and we put this peroxide material in there and we just bleach their teeth. And we've been doing it for 20 years. So if you think it's any good, why don't you go back to Chapel Hill and do some research on it and write it up, because we're never going to do anything with it." So that's how I got wound up being blessed to write the first article in the world on how to whiten your teeth with 10% carbamide peroxide.
What I love about your story, Van, is that you went there to meet their perceived need. And they open the door to a tremendous area of research for you.
That's exactly right. And when I got back, we wrote the article with a good friend of mine, Harold Hyman, and he was an English major, so the article was written much better than me, a math major, could have done. We submitted it to a journal, and it got moved to the head of the line. Usually it takes about 2 years for something like this to get out. But in a matter of months, it got published in an international journal, and then I got a call from a company that makes a similar product, and they said, we don't have time for you to apply for a grant. Can we just send you $10,000 for you to do unrestricted research on this particular technique? And so I was blessed with an international article, a research focus, and $10,000, no strings attached grant. So that was just how God's grace and blessing me and keeping my job at UNC Chapel Hill, where I was just blessed with many more exciting adventures in this whole technique.
Now, from a clinical standpoint, give us a simplified version of how teeth are whitened. Is it the outer enamel layer that changes, or is it the underlying dentin?
Yeah, and let me give you one more insight into the struggle. When this first came out, it wasn't well accepted by everybody. This was 35 years ago. And I had people saying, you're going to kill people. They're going to swallow that stuff. They think of bleach as bleach like you wash clothes with, which is not. Or they think you're going to eat up the teeth. And so every one of those challenges, I would go back to my quiet time and pray to God, God, did you give me the wrong instructions? Was this the wrong thing to do? And time after time after time, God would guide me into the kind of research that I needed to do to prove that point, to answer that question, to solve that. So in that process, we learned about how bleaching works. We're not sure what it's changing the color of, because nobody knows what gives teeth their color, but the color resides inside the tooth in dentin. And so we were able to do research that showed how easily the peroxide passes all the way through the enamel, all the way to the dentin, actually all the way to the pulp. And so all of my research was funded by answering the questions and the challenges given to me by the profession and God's guidance. One example we were challenged about was, this going to cause cancer in people? And I was sharing this at my local church with some men's group that I was in a Bible study with, and I just asked them for prayer. And one of the guys in the group, Chris Wolverton, popped up and said, hey, I've got a PhD in animal research. This is the research I do. So he and I collaborated to do the research to show that it didn't cause cancer. And then other great students that I worked with, we did the research that showed it didn't harm the enamel, it didn't harm the dentin. It just basically lightened the teeth with no detrimental effects.
A couple things that are just wonderful about your testimony. One is that these skeptics that asked you these questions caused you to do research that enabled you to be more sure of the validity of tooth whitening. I think there's an evangelistic principle in there. Sometimes non-Christians will ask us questions we need to consider so we can become more sure of this gospel.
Exactly right.
And the second thing is that my understanding of tooth whitening is that the primary liquids that are used actually make decay less likely and can make the gums healthier.
That's exactly right. This material, 10% carbamide peroxide, had been around for 20 years before we ever wrote the article on bleaching. And they had done research on safety for infants and for youth and for elderly folks. And what we found is that it has an ingredient in it, urea, that elevates the pH. So when your pH is more basic, you can't get tooth decay. So we actually use this 10% carbamide peroxide for caries control in cancer patients and chemotherapy patients, as well as aging patients whose saliva has been reduced by the medications they take and they experience dry mouth. So we found a lot of extra boons on the side in answering those questions through research.
Tremendous. Now, over the years, there have been many over-the-counter products that claim to whiten teeth when my understanding is they really only remove extrinsic discoloration. In other words, they'd be better described as stain removers, sort of like taking your car through a car wash. It doesn't change the color of the car, it just cleans the outside. Have you noticed some confusion over these products?
Yes, that's been a big source of confusion. When we started, we called this technique Night Guard Vital Bleaching. And so we were talking about bleaching. We would get those challenges about, is this like bleach? And there was a TV program where somebody jokingly used Clorox to supposedly put on their teeth. So we started using the word whitening, which is actually the scientific word for changing the color. But then what happened is all the companies that marketed over-the-counter toothpaste and different things like that took the word whitening, which is only taking off the surface stain. So I've gone back to use bleaching because we're changing the inherent color of the tooth, the color that the patient was born with, or we're changing the nicotine stains and tetracycline stains that they have in there. And whitening, if something says it's a whitening product over the counter, it's basically only taking off surface stains. It's not changing the color of the tooth.
That's obviously an important distinction. Now, I know that there are products that will actually lighten the color of the teeth that are over the counter, and also other products that come professionally through dental offices. How do the over-the-counter products compare with what's available from a dental professional?
Well, the most important thing for a person who's considering whitening to do is to have a proper dental examination to determine why their teeth are discolored. Some pathology only shows up as causing dark teeth, especially single dark teeth, things like internal resorption and abscessed teeth and tooth decay. And you need to have a screening radiograph to make sure there's no pathology going on. So the treatment time that a dentist would prescribe may vary depending on the cause of discoloration. Could be days, it could be weeks, it could be months, it could be years. And also the dentist needs to recognize all the existing restorations because they won't change color. Only the teeth are going to change color. There are some products over the counter that work. A lot of them are stain removers. Some of them will work, but they take a little bit longer than they're prescribed. And people say, well, why do they sell some of those things that don't work? Well, for us dentists, it's the same reason they sell hard toothbrushes. Nobody in the dental profession recommends a hard toothbrush, but they make them because people buy them.
So just an example of what you're describing, some of the challenges in understanding this. For many years, I had one single crown on an upper central incisor. And if I had had bleaching done, I'd have ended up with a bunch of light teeth and one dark crown.
That's exactly right. That's the challenge and why the dental office is best suited to give you a good exam, take the radiographs, and then decide whether this is the best thing for you. Then how you do it may be a matter of different techniques.
Now, those in our listening audience who have had their teeth whitened may have noticed the common side effect of sensitive teeth. Is this something to worry about?
Well, it's not something you worry about, but it's something that happens. What we found is that the peroxide molecule goes all the way through intact enamel, all the way through the dentin to the pulp in 5 to 15 minutes. And so what that does is it creates a little irritant on the pulp. And some people just have naturally sensitive teeth, so their teeth are going to be more sensitive when they try to bleach them. By the same token, some of our research led us to find out that potassium nitrate is a product that's used for desensitizing teeth, and it goes all the way through the enamel, all the way through the dentin to the pulp in 10 to 30 minutes. So we published the first article on how to use 5% potassium nitrate to combat bleaching sensitivity by putting that in the tray and wearing it 10 to 30 minutes. It actually works for anybody that has any kind of sensitive teeth because it goes through and basically numbs the nerve inside the tooth.
You know, I was just thinking, Van, that perhaps our listeners should be getting CE credit for listening to this podcast. But we've gone through some of the details of how teeth can be whitened in a non-invasive fashion. But most of our audience probably doesn't realize how this process has radically affected dentistry's approach to creating beautiful smiles.
Yeah, used to when people went to the movies and stuff, they got what was called the Hollywood smile. And that's where they had all their teeth crowned. You can see a lot of the old movie stars with that classic kind of toilet bowl white. Everything looks the same all the way around there. So now with the bleaching material, we're able to preserve God's created enamel that's meant to last a lifetime. We don't damage the nerve. We don't damage the dentin. We don't damage the enamel. But we also get a very nice smile that looks in a nice complement with God's creation. We found out that people look best when the color of their teeth matches the sclera of their eyes. And so that's a nice balance. The color of your eyeballs would be the match with the color of your teeth. And then you have a nice, pleasant appearance to everybody.
You know, this makes me think a little bit about a topic of whether we are healthcare providers or healthcare professionals. Because the phrase provider, which is very commonly used, infers that whatever the patient wants, our job is to provide that. But if a patient comes into my office and they say they want a mouthful of veneers for really bright teeth, my job is not to provide veneers. It's to be the professional that I've been trained to be and say, perhaps with some orthodontics and some whitening, you can have that beautiful smile for far less of an investment and in a far less invasive way.
That's exactly right. And not only that, it'll be far more permanent because everything that we put on teeth has a finite life. God's enamel lasts a lifetime.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, as the world's foremost expert on teeth whitening, you've had opportunities to speak in over 30 countries, as well as throughout the United States on this topic. Are there any interesting stories you'd like to share regarding your international travels?
Well, for a small town country boy from Dublin, Georgia, it's been definitely an experience of things I didn't know about. I remember lecturing in Baku, Azerbaijan, and I was sitting there like a typical guy with my legs crossed, with my sole of my foot showing. And I didn't realize in that country, showing the sole of your foot is like cursing them out. And so it's a very bad thing. And in Japan, the typical symbol that Americans use for come here is actually a dirty sign. In Japan, you have to do it upside down for it to be the right kind of way. Also found out in some of the countries, I didn't realize the custom. I was on an elevator in an Asian country, and with me and several of the dignitaries and several of the ladies, and the elevator door opened, and nobody got out. I was waiting for the ladies to go first, typical American, and the elevator door closed, and then the elevator door opened again. And I finally realized, as the guest, I had to go out first, then the men would follow me, and then the ladies would follow them. So we've had a lot of interesting things. I even remember in Scotland, somebody asked me, what was my Christian name? And I thought, my Christian name? I don't know what that means. And he said, yeah, you know, your last name is Van Haywood. What's your first name? And it's like, oh, they thought Van was my part of my last name. So ever since then, I use my middle initial. So I'm Dr. Van B. Haywood, because otherwise in Europe, they'll book me in a hotel under the V's, not under the H's.
Now, as a longtime expert in teeth whitening, I have so appreciated your unbiased recommendations over the years regarding what works and what doesn't. And I know that many other CMDA members knew they could trust your perspective as unbiased. Were there ever any companies that tried to get you to promote their products through your lectures?
Well, as a CE lecturer for either ADA CERP courses or AGD courses or CMDA courses, we don't promote commercial products. We try to give an unbiased research-based event. So lots of companies will send you their free samples, but I never promote what I haven't done research on, and it's usually got to be part of a research project that goes through university standards for human assurance and proper endorsement. Even though I get sent lots of products, I never particularly use those or promote them unless they're part of a research product. And the research product has to have financial support that goes through university endorsement and the proper standards. I found a lot of good products out there that I've come to use myself in my patient care, but there's so many products out there, there's almost no way to keep up with what's coming and going. They'll be on the market 1 year and off the next year.
Well, I wish all endorsers worked under the same criteria that you've just described.
Well, I made the decision long ago never to be connected to a particular company because that tainted my expertise. It's kind of like Paul when he said, I don't want to be paid for this because I'm doing this for you to share the gospel. So I wanted to do what I knew to be true and what I could stand in front of God and lecture to.
Now, Van, speaking of your lecturing, much of your international lecturing has been voluntary at your own expense for the benefit of educating medical and dental missionaries around the world through the work of the annual Continuing Medical and Dental Education Conferences, or CMDE. I know that Dr. Mike Chupp and his family greatly enjoyed these wonderful meetings while he was serving as a missionary in Kenya. Many of our members have been involved in these conferences, but for those who haven't, tell us a bit about how they work.
This is one of the most wonderful things that CMDA has and that Angie and I were able to participate in together. Missionaries abroad, just like dentists and physicians in the States or health professionals, have to have a certain number of hours of continuing education to maintain their U.S. licensure. And also to maintain their U.S. licensure, that usually is what gives them the right to practice in those countries. They also need to keep up with current technology so when they come home on furlough or come home off the mission field, they know what's going on in the medical and dental world. So it's difficult for a missionary to come home and get 40 hours of continuing education, which they need as a dentist every 2 years. And so CMDA puts on this conference of a 2 week of continuing education. And as faculty members, we would go and lecture, and 50% of the material we lectured on had to be cutting edge, what's happening in the United States right then. The other 50% needed to be what might work in their country, third world country, or unique situations. And they've turned this into a family-friendly thing over the years, and they'll have families come and children, and it's like for the children, which my wife worked with the children, it's like going to summer camp. They get to see friends they haven't seen in 2 years, so it's just a wonderful ministry to the missionaries. It's an encourager. We spend time talking with them outside the lectures, fellowshipping with them. They'll have people to just counsel with them on things they might be dealing with. We'll have a marriage conference in there. We'll have raising children things in there. So it's just a wonderful thing. And for the future, we need more people to come lecture. You don't have to be a faculty member at a dental school or a medical school. A lot of our lecturers are just private practitioners who have the gift of teaching, and they've got some wonderful experiences, and they'll come and share. And then we also, if you work with a church or a denomination that has missionaries abroad, you want to make sure they know about this opportunity so they can get their credits and fellowship with some of the other missionaries abroad.
So if there are healthcare professionals listening to this podcast who are interested in learning more about this opportunity, where should they go?
Well, Bill, probably the easiest thing is to contact CMDA. What we have for the CMDE conferences is we have a dental dean, and then we have for each of four sections. They'll have surgery, they have general practitioner, they have community health, and they have dentistry. And over that, they have a single dean who's over all those conferences. And Bert is the dean right now, and we can get that contact information to him. And actually, we're going to be sharing some more about that in October at the Mission Conference that we're going to be having in Dallas, Texas, where we're going to try to engage all the different areas of mission dentistry and mission medicine and healthcare missions. And so one of the things that I'll be speaking on there is the details on how to get connected with CMDE.
Great thought. I'm glad you brought that up, Van. I'll just quickly mention to our listening audience that October 4th and 5th will be a couple of great days in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where we're going to put on a dental missions conference. This will not just be for international missions, but this will be for dentists in private practice, dentists working in clinics, dentists who do short-term trips, and even dentists contemplating long-term missions opportunities. And it should be a wonderful opportunity to learn from those who've been heavily involved in lots of different areas, including what you and other dentists have done with the CMDE conference. I'm glad our listeners are gaining a better understanding of how teeth whitening works and what a powerful treatment modality this has become. But I also don't want to spread a false rumor that you're just the bleaching guy. In fact, just yesterday, as part of the dental track at our national convention, you gave a marvelous talk on multiple aspects of restorative dentistry, which our dental contingent seemed to greatly appreciate. It's clear that you enjoy what you do as a dentist. What about the dental profession has kept you energized for all these years?
Well, it's been a great profession for me. We just celebrated our 50-year class reunion this past week. So 50 years of being involved in dentistry has been a wonderful blessing. I just get fired up about simple conservative techniques that preserve or restore the teeth God gave us, because those teeth are meant to last a lifetime. So I've taught occlusion longer than I've taught bleaching. And of course, as I look at people's teeth for bleaching, I see some of the aesthetic problems. And so I had to learn about aesthetics to how to help the overall thing. I love restorative dentistry and putting teeth back the way God had intended them to be, both in occlusion and function and aesthetic. So it's just been that total package of how do we preserve what God's blessed us with in the most conservative way, because we can always go to the more aggressive ways. Each section in dentistry has an indication, and I always want to start with the most conservative one first.
As you talk about trying to restore oral problems that develop, it seems to me that that is a response to the fall of man, how disease did not exist before the fall, and a part of our calling is to counteract the effects of the fall in a temporary way right now, but as long-lasting as possible, knowing that eventually we'll have these brand new bodies that don't need cavities filled or periodontal disease treated.
That's exactly right. And over the course of 50 years, I've seen not only the profession change, but also teeth have changed. Because as we have more fluoride in the water, then teeth are stronger in enamel. But if they have fissures on the occlusal surface, they'll get tooth decay and you can't even detect it with an explorer. So we've actually had to go on in academics to a thing called IC-DOS, which is a way to evaluate tooth decay visually when it won't stick with an explorer. It's the difference between in the old days without fluoride, teeth were like a wooden roof. The minute it started to get rotten, you could tell it. Now with fluoride, teeth are like a tin roof with a hole in it. So the tin is hard, the water goes down through the hole until the whole roof rottens out. It doesn't look like it's defective. So we've had to train students in different ways. I've had to learn my own self things that I thought were the only way you would ever be a dentist, and now they're completely different ways. And when you add to that things like scanning and 3D printing, which we now make splints from, just a lot of fun stuff to go on in the profession.
Now, you and your wife, Angie, have had the privilege of spending decades with a huge host of dental students over the years at both the University of North Carolina and also at the Dental College of Georgia. Many other members of CMDA also invest in the lives of the next generation of healthcare professionals. Why have you made working with students such a big part of your professional career?
Well, it all starts with first God's called me into teaching. I was reading a book by the Whites called Your Job, Survival or Satisfaction. And through that book, God made it clear to me that he was calling me to leave private practice and go into teaching. And he did it in such a miraculous way that from the time I felt the call to the time I applied for a position to the time I lectured to the time I sold my practice was 30 days. So it was like the parting of the Red Sea for me. So once I got into teaching, then you're around all these young students and they're growing in their faith walk. And we had one student at our dental school just ask, well, how does somebody stay strong in their faith in dental school? So we started a devotional group called the Dental Fellowship. It's been going on since 1979. And we'll meet every morning once a week at 7 a.m. And we'll have, some years we've had 2 to 5 students. Lately, we've had 30 to 70. So it waxes and wanes over these 40 years, but it's been a blessing to watch them grow and mature and to be part of that journey in their life, to be available to ask those transparent questions that say, how do you manage to be a dentist and manage with your marriage? And how do you deal with this ethical situation? And so there are a lot of things that it's just been a spinoff of God's original call in teaching and then his call to help start this support group. And then when we aligned with CMDA, it just brought in lots of rich resources that we could provide for the students, lots of GHO trips, lots of different things that were built on a bigger structure than I could ever hope to done at my local school. So it's just been an evolving situation of God using what we put out for the students and just blessing it and multiplying it.
You know, it wasn't long ago that Dr. Mike Chupp and I had a chance to visit your school. It was a breakfast meeting, and there were over 50 students there. I don't think they're there as much to see Mike and me as they were to have Angie's breakfast food. What did she make then? Do you remember?
Right. Angie gets up every morning about 4:30 on that devotional day, and she cooks anywhere from 120 to 200 pigs in the blankets. And so we have a great time with food, and then we always have a devotional. And one of the greatest things is to be able to bring dentists from private practice in to share about their faith walk and how they live out their life, how they live out their family and their marriage. And so if you're out there and anywhere near a student group, they would love to hear from people on the other side of the wall.
So, Van, this podcast is our opportunity to help CMDA learn a bit more about what our dental component is up to these days. And you and I just completed our annual in-person Dental Advisory Council meeting 2 days ago. From your perspective, what are the biggest areas in which we've had the privilege of seeing God at work through the Christian Dental Association?
Well, one of those started for me with the saline solution, and now you've got these faith prescriptions that are just being used all over the country about how to witness and share in your life. One of the other blessings has been the Dental Residency Plus program, which has been in existence for the last 10 years, started in Memphis, Tennessee. And this is where students can come and get an AEGD certificate, but they also can have 2 years of mission work, both locally in the community that they're living in, as well as internationally. And so it's just a great chance for people to develop themselves dentally, but also to develop themselves mission-minded and to see how they can use their training. And one of the exciting things we just learned about is that we're working on getting curriculum for dental schools abroad. So Uganda and Rwanda are both looking at residency programs as a possibility for helping their native-trained dentists get better in what we're going to do. And then, of course, the special blessing for my wife, Angie, and I has been able to work with the CMDE program for the last 10 years and be able to serve on the field as husband and wife together. And that's just been a wonderful blessing to us.
It really is a great time to be a part of CMDA and to see all of the different ministry opportunities the Lord is sending our way and how He seems to be providing just the people we need to pursue those opportunities. Van, my final question relates to a challenge that we all feel as Christians in healthcare. On the one hand, our patients expect us to pursue clinical excellence with all we have, seeking to provide the best treatment possible. And I know this has been your desire as well. But on the other hand, we who walk with Jesus realize that even our best effort on a good day with the wind at our back still leaves us totally dependent on God's grace, as shown most clearly through Jesus Christ. A book you and I both read by Dr. Howard Carr many years ago spoke of perfectionodontal disease, the tendency we doctors have to drive ourselves crazy with unrealistic expectations of our own abilities or responsibilities. How, as Christian doctors, do we seek to do our very best for our patients without becoming discouraged at the futility of our inability to provide 100% successful results? In other words, how do we avoid perfectionodontal disease?
That's a great thing. I really benefit from that book early in my career. What it does for me is that I think of my patient as Jesus. And I know there's a CMDA picture of Jesus standing over the shoulder of a dentist watching him work. But for me, Jesus is in the chair, and He knows my hearts. He knows my abilities. He knows my preparation for this event that I'm doing there. He knows when I've done the best I can. So I've always been sort of a perfectionist, but I'm growing to focus on striving for excellence in the best situation. That also means I have to tell the patient I'm going to charge them for this attempt if they agree for me to try it. And then I have to admit what I can't do and discern situations that are outside my scope of practice. Being in a dental school for all these years, dental students don't see their failures, so they walk out of dental school thinking everything they do is going to be perfect and it's going to last forever. So as you start to get some age on yourself, you can even see how even the best of work, even excellent, is going to fail somewhere if the patient doesn't do their part and if they don't have some other traumas and things like that. So what I've learned to do is what Paul says, forgetting that which is past, I try to learn from my failures, but not live in those failures and press on toward the future. I just read in a devotional called The Wake Up Call that success and failures are events, not people.
That is powerful. And I like the analogy also between physical health and spiritual health. If you do a wonderful crown, if you've got beautiful margins, the occlusion is perfect and eccentric, you've got lateral guidance and excursives, and everything is just right, it might last 20, 30, 40, maybe even 50 years, but it's still a temporary approach to a problem. And I think of the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, "While we consider not the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So even as we're trying to do that ideal crown, we're doing it in light of the eternal principles that God gives us in His Word, leaning on the eternal Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I often think of this, before Jesus was crucified, He had the Passover meal with His disciples. And so this is like your time when you're going to tell your children before they go off to college, what's the most important thing you can remember? And or somebody's on their deathbed and they're going to give their last words. So what is the most important thing? And what He does is tell them, "This is my body and this is my blood broken and shed for you. And do this in remembrance of Him." So everything we have to do, we remember that the secret is this: Christ is in us, and Christ works through us, and Christ works on us, and Christ works for us, and Christ goes before us, and Christ comes behind us. So the secret is this: Christ is in you. So my memory verse has been at Ephesians 3:20-21. "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is His work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen." You can bet your life on that.
Van, this has been a precious time, and I so thank you for sharing how the Lord has worked in your life with the membership of CMDA. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome. God bless you.
One of the most amazing aspects of this past year's national convention was the fact that 92 healthcare professionals made the commitment to become lifetime members. And this total included 9 dentists and 1 hygienist. And since the convention, an additional 48 colleagues have joined the ranks of CMDA lifetime members. I encourage those of you listening to this podcast to consider investing in CMDA ministry by joining us for life. There will be no more dues to pay. You will save a lot of money over time, and we have some special benefits in the works, including by invitation only life member webinars led by some of CMDA's senior staff. To learn more about CMDA being our lifeline for a lifetime, go to cmda.org/lifetime.
Thanks for listening to Dental Soundbites. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email dental@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.